So, okay.
So, here we are in London. Here's the Free Radio Kassel again. Yeah, not from Kassel now, but we're sitting here in, London with Noir.
Hello, Carson.
Hello,
hello Kassel.
This is George, and this is
Tim.
Yeah.
And it's good to see you here in London. We're in a kind of an Italian cafe restaurant, which has a little bit of noise happening in the background. So let's hope we can overcome this.
Yeah, all live.
It shows it's real, though, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. So,
right, fire away, Captain.
Yes, you brought out a Noir album, I think 10 years before. And what's the idea? Who had the idea to do this?
The new release?
Laughing.
I think it's one of those strange situations. I mean, Noir had an odd path in the old days, 10 years ago, in that we basically had a single release with Walking, which was then sort of hijacked by this food producer into becoming part of the Feast television food program.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I mean, Tim and I had written many other songs, and the whole idea was always to do an album. And we, through our connections and stuff, we found this company called Angel Air.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed very happy about the idea of releasing it. So finally, after all this time, here is a proper commercial manufactured release of Noir.
Yeah.
Strange Desire.
And it has the promo video for Walking on the CD-ROM as well. So, it has a track called Genie, which wasn't on the original Noir album.
Yeah, it was for a short time available on the other album. George Kayano's Reveal.
Yes, but it's been taken off the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's now only on the Noir album,
mm-hmm.
Strange as well.
Yeah.
That has a particularly...
We have a baby here, yeah.
Yes.
Shut up.
It has a particularly manic guitar solo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did four different ones and George edited them all together.
Mixed it up. Yeah.
This was pre-computer for me, so it was... Shall I shout really loudly? It's okay. I think
we got more than happy going.
Hi, baby.
Bye, baby.
Do you want to just say that again, just to be on the safe side? Because that baby.
Let's do that bit again. I think they're actually leaving.
So the new album or the new release has an unreleased Noir track called Genie, which features a manic guitar solo by yours truly. And in those days, I'd put it onto, I think it was on cassette, wasn't it? And then came around to you with it, and you took bits of the four different versions and put them all together.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I could just email him.
That's right.
I didn't even have a computer then, did I?
No, I guess you didn't.
No. George had an Atari, wasn't it?
An Atari
Cubase.
Computer. No, not Cubase, the other one, the Notator, or Imagic Notator. But, it's a wonderful start, and... We had a very, very good time making this album because we were singing about and writing about things that we both are quite obsessed with,
sex, basically.
Well, there's
sex,
there's that, but there's a slight difficulty about talking too much about sex as a male duo, because people might get the wrong idea that we're sort of a male homosexual duo, which of course we're not.
We're female homosexual.
Yes, that's right.
Hello, my name's Sharon. Now we were seriously thinking about calling the album Ing for about a week, because we've got, I think, seven tracks that end in Ing.
Mm-hmm.
Walking, Talking, Travelling, Darling, Believing.
Tring.
No. Tring. Yeah, we're working on that. That would be on album too. But then we realised that was probably a bit of a silly idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, if Ing had meant something, unfortunately, especially now, Ing, I-N-G, actually is the name of a very big bank. which is not the association that we'd be particularly happy with.
Not very apt.
Mm.
So then we thought... originally we were called the Co-Respondent Brothers.
Actually, just wait a bit.
Okay. Pause that.
Yeah.
Originally we were called the Co-Respondent Brothers because of the black and white shoes. Because of the fezzes, yeah. Now, we both had these black and white brogue shoes, which were worn by reporters in the 30s and 40s.
Yes.
And it's very strange that we both had a pair independently.
Yeah, it's a very strange coincidence. It's
like cosmic moment.
I think most people would probably not have a set of or a pair of corresponding shoes.
Yeah, but we both did, and so we thought we need a name for this duo. Mm. So we naively thought the Correspondent Brothers would be a good name. But of course some people say the Correspondent Brothers, which has a different meaning altogether.
Yeah.
And it's a bit clumsy, isn't it? It's not going to look very good on a T-shirt.
Okay, but
and then
it's
we were going to call ourselves Lush.
Yeah, which in German apparently is not a very loud show. It does not sound particularly exciting or inviting.
In French, it was quite appropriate, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A la Gainsbourg or, you know, somebody a bit sleazy and a bit well-travelled. Yeah. And then it had to be Noir, didn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes there's a third guy.
Oh yes, no, there is a third element that very often is featured in Little Places, and that of course is Barbara.
Or Barbie.
Barbara.
Hello.
Yeah. Barbara. Wild.
Yes, it's more like Barbie Wild, actually, not Barbara. Barbara sounds so...
I did correct this after.
Yes. Yes, I am Madame Noir.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
and she punishes us if we're naughty. Quite a
That's
lot.
It's very sweet to include me.
For sure. Here,
no, Barbie's... God, how many tracks are you on? Most of them.
Many?
Yeah, oh,
many.
Well, I was... very cheap, you see.
So she could be doing the washing up and then nip in, do a backing vocal, back into this kitchen.
Yeah. I had a sort of tiny career trying to write and sing songs many years ago, but really I think that I was much better suited my voice to doing backing vocals. And I must say, working for these guys, it was so much fun.
Barbie adds a nice little counterpoint. My favourite bit is in Travelling, where she says, "Would you like a drink, sir?" "Yes! Give me champagne." It's just, perfect. The perfect little air hostess
course,
and the little uniform.
Of course, in Hotel Europa, she has the little line, "Encore du vin," which took a bit of time because of the accent.
That's
in Feast, isn't it?
No, hang on a second. No, you're in... Hotel Europa.
I think this will need to be cut. No, that's Feast. Darling, Encore
du vin. No, Hotel Europa. You say Encore du vin.
Do I?
Yeah.
Anyway, she's there. and the other good is the track called... I'm talking to myself, aren't I? Hi, Tim, how are you today? I'm good, thank you.
He's the devil in disguise.
I've lost my train of thought now.
Can I just...
Film noir, that's a good one. Because what happened there, we just wrote down all the sort of cliched phrases from our favourite movies.
Yeah.
Like, the streets were moist with something more than rain. You know, where the pavement ends and angels with red lips and stuff. And Barbie just read the whole lot out.
Mm.
And the strange thing was, it's in perfect timing. We didn't do our usual trick of spending 4 hours moving each word around.
Mm-hmm.
When I did the French verse of Walking, boy, to be a fly on the wall for that one. I had George standing next to me doing this. I'm moving my arm up and down like a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, because it's got to be so tight.
Actually, talking about other languages, the German verse in the Triangle of Forces mix of Walking, speaking, or you being German, do you understand what we're saying? Are we saying it correctly? Or does it sound embarrassing? Or
it sounds perfectly all right.
It does,
doesn't
it? It does.
You must have trained it well.
Somebody told me that my French verse in Walking sounds like a German saying it. So what does my German verse sound like? It certainly doesn't sound French.
No.
But German's a very nice percussive language.
Yeah.
And I think we both spent quite a lot of time in Germany, so we understand the language, how it works. You know.
I think you both got it quite accent-free on this verse, so it's really quite...
Yeah, so we don't sound like we come from Mannheim or somewhere. Or Tring. Feast. Well, that was a strange one, wasn't it? You couldn't in a million years have come out with a more unlikely possibility of, you know, two guys like us presenting a food and drink series.
Funnily enough, I think the whole Feast episode I mean, originally we were only going to do what we term sort of gastropop videos. In other words, our part of the show would just be us doing the song walking in different parts of Europe and rewriting the lyrics, you know, depicting what we're doing, what we're eating, and all that sort of stuff. But when they asked us to actually present the entire show, now, okay, for Tim this is not so difficult because he's done a lot of acting and stuff like this. So, but for me it was a major problem. I felt very uncomfortable because I'm just not a natural performer in that sense, you know. As you know, even from Sailor, I was very reluctant as a performer. But so I think, you know, when the whole episode was over, I actually felt quite relieved about it, I have to confess, because of that.
It was, even for me, I found quite a lot of it quite embarrassing, actually. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, do we have to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And then
when shots and...
Oh, no, it was the hungry camcorder, wasn't it? Oh, where I had to speak like this African tribesman. It was just, I really don't want to do this. I was quite happy marching around Europe with George in our shoes and suits, but... And because Barbie helped us write our script, it was like, how can we make this interesting? We wanted to do some scene in a deck chair, didn't we, where we both woke up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the whole thing was some weird dream we've been having. Unfortunately, it was real. But
it was kind of ironic because I'd had done quite a lot of presenting previously in the early, late 80s. And so I was able to sort of advise them a bit on how to approach the whole presenting thing. But
you didn't have to hit us quite so hard.
No. But it was funny. But I loved their delivery and the surrealistic moment of them marching across the downs in Devon, going, you know, got your double plated boiler pot and stuff like that. It was quite wonderful. I think
they speeded up.
But there was basically Tim and George as noir were judged too sinister for Channel 4, which I thought was kind of funny, you know. But
yeah, it is silly because I don't think we look remotely sinister.
I think we were quite
cartoon-like.
We actually used to go to a supermarket afterwards, you know, to get some things. And I noticed little old ladies looking at George with enormous suspicious, going, is that the bloke from the Channel 4? You know, and it is, but they sort of... And it was an interesting experience. I think it was good for them. But the worst part actually was eating 5 or 6... dinners a day and having to comment.
Yeah.
It sounds great,
you
but
had
it
to do
was
a lot of yum yum acting, you know, like, this is so good. And so you end up eating about 3 mouthfuls and then this huge amount of wasted food. I felt really bad about that. I mean, sometimes we'd give it to the crew and they'd eat it. they're filming us all day, watching two guys eating 3 mouthfuls of a meal and then chucking it away. So it was all a bit weird. I mean,
these are things that we just didn't think about prior to doing it. You know, we thought, the whole idea of going to Paris, Barcelona, Hamburg, you know, it was wonderful, very romantic and fabulous. But it struck us when we first went to Paris, after our sort of third meal, that this is going to be a problem if we eat this food. It meant just leaving all this delicious stuff.
And that's it. There's a danger that it could actually put you off your favourite meal.
Yeah.
And one of our favourites is the couscous royale, which we had, I don't know, towards the end of the day. So we've already had 3 lunches already. And it's like, oh, God, I want to eat all of this. But physically... You know, unless we had a tailor who was constantly letting out our trousers.
That was enough for 3 years.
Yeah, but it didn't put us off, luckily. But the worst bit, I think, for George was eating the herring, wasn't it, in Amsterdam?
That was difficult. I mean, I did it as a trooper. You know, I felt that I have to sort of do this. I mean, being Norwegian, of course, you know, we have experience with similar things.
You must.
And
he's an... A prince. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, but it's not really a princely thing to do, to eat a fish like that.
Well, not on the streets of Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
And they give you a glass of
of
gin, Geneva gin. Which you could say is a herring aid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just thought that one up. But I point blank refused to do that. And it wasn't even pickled, was it?
I actually didn't really mind it.
No, I've got the outtake of your experience.
I actually really like herring. I mean, we love having herring with
pickled
onions.
But that,
not pickled.
You like pickled herring. It's like you get in Ognishko.
Like roll marks?
Well, no, the ones in Ognishko. You know,
no, that's not pickled. That's, well, it's soused, but it's not pickled.
But this was like a raw herring almost, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
It was horrible.
We can move on from the herring.
Yeah, let's move on.
I think we should speak up. We should keep talking for the next hour about my herring experience in Amsterdam.
Okay.
But no. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, let's
herring,
move on to...
Herring, another thing with him, you notice?
Oh, herring.
Herring.
That guy.
Yeah,
oh,
cool.
But even Genie has ING.
Eat herring.
Yes. That's right, yeah.
Have a song called Herring.
And of course, and one could even go as far
herring
as to say that
we eat.
There's an ING implied in the title Sex on the Telephone, because a telephone rings.
Ringing.
Right.
Anyway,
there was one track that never got finished, which was a shame. It was called Thinking.
Oh.
Mm. Another ing. And it was really funky, actually. It was quite rocky.
Yeah.
And we got stuck on the chorus, actually. It was a shame, because the verses were brilliant. Really big, open guitars and pads and a
floating
massive
guitar
drum beat.
Yeah, no, it was...
And
it was
a really...
But
chorus, but you can't fight it, you know? It's like, it's either going to work or it isn't. So you give it a fair shot.
So you use drum computers and really big tap.
Yeah.
Electric guitar.
Well, I think that's what makes it slightly unique, is that it is live guitar. It's being sampled, but I'm playing it. It's not like take it from a CD.
I suppose the only live thing was, in fact, the guitar and the vocals. There wasn't anything else. I don't think we did any live percussion. Mm-hmm. It was all pretty much programmed. But program was exceedingly
finger clicks.
Well, yeah, but it was sampled,
yeah.
So it's still kind of programmed. Mm.
Another favourite moment is George's a cappella vocal on Talking. You're doing that, mate.
But there's a bridge section which sort of I can't breathe for about what feels like minutes. You know, like it sort of keeps going and ends up in a do 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 sort of out of breath, ready to fall over.
That was the first track, anyway. So that was can I tell them about Don't Stop the Eurobop? You can cut this, actually. But the very first day we started writing, I had a little riff thing, and we played around with it. And to our horror, the only chorus we could come up with was, "Hey, don't stop, don't stop the Eurobop." It was dreadful. And I thought, is this going to work? So we very quickly scrapped it. And then we were sitting at the table in George's kitchen, and we came out with this do-do-do thing. And we've envisaged two very cool black guys in mohair suits doing this, and us in the front, you know, on Eurovision. And that turned into Talking, so that was pretty much the first track we did.
So you may have thought that noir was this cool romantic thing, but in fact it was all based on Eurovision.
Yeah. You see, in those days, whoever wrote the song had to perform it. So we started writing Talking, thinking you could just send it in and some other guy, preferably two black guys in suits, would do it. Then it was like, oh my God, we have to do it. So we had to, oh my God. And that's when the shoes came in. We thought, that'll look good. We both got black suits. But the thought of doing it live in front of billions of people was horrifying, you know.
Maybe it will happen soon.
I really hope not.
I hope not. No.
I hope not.
I mean sometimes one gets pearls from swine. You know, it does happen sometimes. Around. I mean, one thing that would be something that one wouldn't really want to be associated under any circumstance can trigger an idea of something that actually turns into something that one would like to be associated with.
Yeah.
And I think the whole sort of Eurovision thing was absolutely on that basis. It turned into something else. And then I think it became a project that was became serious.
It was Walking that did it.
Yeah, Walking was the first.
That was the second point. Song, really. And see, that was the perfect marriage of two creative minds, that George had a backing track with Footsteps. Mm-hmm. And I think there was probably a bass drum in there.
Oh, yeah.
And just synth pads. It was just rotating between two chords. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was such a brilliant idea. He said it's got to be called Walking. Mm-hmm. So then I took it home and I came out with this ZZ Top guitar thing. I thought, oh, God, he's going to hate that.
Did you put your bird on?
Clip on
black beard. Back beard, of course. And he loved the idea, and instantly we thought, wow, now here we have got something new. The ZZ Top techno. Mm-hmm. And then the chorus came together. It was sort of Elvis-y, wasn't it? Walking. And then we thought, something, no, it needs something higher up in between those lines to give it a bit of an edge, so that happened. And the lyrics, well, I just thought, is this going to be too poetic for people? But apparently not.
No. The thing about the lyrics that work so well is the fact that absolutely they are poetic, but they have a kind of a darkness to it. The theme is kind of a dark theme, and it makes it much more palatable. If it was a description that was sort of very lighthearted or very romantic in a sort of wrong way, it could have been quite embarrassing, but quite up the opposite. I mean, you did some great lyrics for that song.
It's basically like a brass eye photograph. Mm. You know, his pictures of Paris at night. That's what triggered it.
But also, I mean, those lines, you know, shared by the two of us going over that track, gave it a kind of dynamic of its own. And it became very kind of haunting and pushy.
We obviously decided very early on that we would speak every verse of every song. Mm. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty unusual. Mm.
It is.
And it was good, actually, because when that chorus kicks in, it's like, whoa! You know, it's like somebody's opened the curtain. So...
And this radio special, we will hear some songs of it.
You will indeed. And then it all started just sort of flowing together, really. Mm. George already had Genie before we even started working together. Mm-hmm. And that's how I did the guitar thing. He said, can you do a guitar solo? So I nearly ripped the neck off the guitar at one point. It was so... Because I had a tremolo arm. Mm-hmm. You could bend it right the way down and pull it back. And anyway, but that... I wanted to work with George. I kept on about doing a Eurovision song, and he kept saying no, quite rightly, really. Who the hell was I? You know, but he suddenly relented, and it was quite an amazing moment.
Well known from the...
Cost me a fortune, you know. He said, OK, Timmy, I'll do it. It's going to cost you 500 quid. So it's worth it, isn't it? I'm still paying him now, actually. But, no, I don't know why you said yes. It was a funny moment, that.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, as long as we were thinking of Eurovision, it was just a little fun thing that friends did together, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas as soon as Walking came along, then it became a serious music project that had character and dynamics and everything. It just transformed into something else. I mean, even Talking, as much as it is a quirky little song, it has an atmosphere that is not separate from the other stuff on the album, but it just transformed into this project, which became Strange Desire, which, you know, holds itself up very well. Mm. A good thing to be associated with, I reckon.
I think Believing is another track I really like, because that chorus, I always saw us on stage doing that with 5,000 people singing along to it. And it's got a positive message, and believe in yourself, believe that love will save you. It's not the moon and June, you know. And I think all of the songs have some sort of depth to them. Wings of Desire, well, that's pretty deep. Thank you, Wim Wenders, really. But that's where the inspiration came from, certainly. Mm-hmm. But I think what we were doing was seeing ourselves in the song. And when we did Wings of Desire, I could see us in Berlin in long black coats walking along, or Walking, I could see us in Paris, or Travelling. Gosh, now that was a brilliant one. So the first verse is rail travel, second verse is steamship, And the third verse is Prop Plane Travel. It's all based on our favourite movies, even to the sound of a prop plane passing over and our lovely air stewardess offering us champagne at 20,000 feet. Yes, it's romantic music, I think.
And let's have some songs in this wonderful show called Handmade. It's very special today, but this music is so interesting. It's not real handmade.
No.
Not a computer, but these guys are so special that I think we have to do this.
Great.
Yeah. So, maybe there's a chance to join the charts again. The new release.
It's very difficult to say, because I mean things have changed a great deal. Even in 10 years, in terms of how music is promoted, marketed, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm hoping that with this release on Angel Air, because it is a worldwide release, at least in theory, it will obviously take a bit of time to promote it to the point that enough people will be aware of it and consequently hopefully buy it, which would be great. Mm. But it's there's no single release from it, because Angel Air does not do that.
Yeah. Mm.
So it really is a package. It's just kind of a standalone package, could be of interest to people, I think.
Yeah. It is possible that we might have been 10 years too early with it.
Maybe.
That maybe now people are more open-minded in terms of music, and because of the growth of the internet and mashing, people just doing the most outrageous combinations of things.
I knew two girls, they do only performing of well-known songs on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And now they are so famous that they have their own website and
really?
Many TV shows and things like that. It's strange.
Mm, yeah.
But
well,
it helps sometimes.
I think we both learned over the years that you can't really second-guess anything. So. Mm. We don't have any great expectations, and if something great happens, that's fantastic, but I'm not expecting it to.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it before, and it's a terrible feeling. You put your heart into a project, and it doesn't go anywhere. It's like, and you kind of think it's my fault. It isn't. It's just random.
One just has to finish things the way one wants to. funny, in the early days when we had the single, when Koch tried to, Koch tried to get the single released, there was a lot of comments by radio stations, especially in Germany, where they had difficulty with the fact that we had techno music, basically, with a live electric guitar. To a lot of radio stations, this was a combination that was just not possible because it confused the genre, whatever.
Yeah.
And in other words, everything was so neatly packaged into compartments, which of course happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really getting any easier in some ways. But on the other hand, I think, the DJ world, funnily enough, as we were saying earlier, the sort of mashing and whatever it's called, is beginning to make it possible to do anything, really. And if it works, who cares what the ingredients really are? If the overall effect works well. And so it's difficult for us, I think, to sort of really see where this music fits in with today's scene, because, I mean, I don't know about Tim, but I certainly don't feel I am an expert anymore on what actually is going on, because it seems to be very confusing.
Of course, the thing with Sailor in the early 90s, the big two combat hits, and we were the only band who made it from the 70s.
I guess so, No, it's no, everything is possible, really, there has to be a certain element of luck, I think, in that.
Yeah, and we don't have any history, so it's a completely new entity, even though it's 10 years old. There's no baggage to it, so I'm hoping that people will not judge the music by what either of us have done before, but just see it as something very unique. But the problem is, and when people say, well, Tim, what's your music like, it's like, oh god, is it poetic techno pop, I don't know. It would be great to have a one-word description of it. But
I mean, I think the only thing I can think of
music,
a technical description would be Tektronica. because it's techno and it's electronica. I mean, that's how I see it. Tektronica. But hey, what's in a word? I mean, it's one of those questions I think most artists are really always find kind of depressing when asked, and that is, how would you describe your music? Because the one thing that artists spend their life doing is to create things, and that is what it is. It's like you just have to listen to it, or you have to look at it, or whatever. And the whole point is that you don't need to describe it verbally. You know, it speaks for itself.
It should do. Yeah.
It should do.
Outstanding.
It's not like a painting, or you know, music is ephemeral. Really, it doesn't really exist, does it? You can't pick it up. You can't smell it. Well, unless you... What's the theme from Feast, isn't it?
It's an odd medium. It is an odd medium. I mean, you have the physical reality of the sound carrier, where if one could, I suppose, say that the music sounds that one puts into this medium is like paints that go on the canvas, but you can't see music, of course. So it's different in that sense, but it's...
Didn't one of you, I think it was Tim, use the expression, it's a cinematic, Noir's approach to music is a cinematic approach to music.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
It sounds like the sort of thing I'd come up with.
And I think that it's sort of like each song is like a soundtrack to a movie.
Yes.
And that's
sometimes
almost...
deliberately so. What else have we got on there? Oh, Darling, well that was drawn from a personal divorce thing. So that's probably the most simple track, but it's something, I mean, George did the backing for that, and it was just, made me cry my eyes out when I heard it, because I had no idea he was doing that. And I couldn't think of anything to add to it at all, except for the lyrics. And so it was just, bye bye darling, I thought, we can't just have that. And he said, yeah, of course you can. But it has got my favourite opening line. Is it love or is it lust that makes us do those foolish things? Is it God in whom we trust who will tell us what tomorrow brings? Bye, bye. It's perfect, simple. You know. And there's a gap in the middle where something was going to happen. But we couldn't think of anything to put in the gap. So we left it. And then Wings of Desire's got another little thing of all these whispered voices. Again, that's if you were an angel and you could hear everybody's thoughts. It could be pretty scary. But we just triple tracked the three of us just saying anything that came into our heads and just mix it all together.
The old crowd thing.
Yeah.
Normally, at least for movies, what they tend to do, they do sort of...
Rhubarb,
pots and pan. Pots and pans. So you get the sort of sibilant sounds as well as the sort of general mumble stuff. And I forget actually whether we used that principle when we did the back.
Sometimes you can hear Barbie saying something about being on a train or
forgot to do those dishes.
Yes.
No, I'm only joking.
I left the back door open.
Did you lock the door? I say that all the time.
What else we got on the album? Sex on the Telephone. Now, that is an extraordinary lyrical feat by George.
But the thing about Sex on the Telephone, I mean, we decided to have a bash at it, which, you know, I think it actually does work, in spite of the fact that, obviously, the reply conversation, I mean, there's kind of reply situation, two people talking on the telephone. It should obviously be a guy talking to a girl. That is the original concept of the song. One of the quirky things about the song, which makes it sort of unusual, is that one phrase is in English and the next is in French, but they rhyme with each other. And all the lines are, you know, ping-ponging between French and English, but they all rhyme, which took a bit of doing to actually get
that
to work. But when we've done it, we sort of felt a little bit sort of uneasy to begin with, because It's almost like two guys talking on the phone. It could be interpreted that way, which of course again would bring in a homosexual element.
I think if it had, if they'd all been in English, that might have been a problem. But
possibly. Yeah.
But also the I got a friend of mine who's French to play the sounds like an actress, but we just called her up and said, listen, could you mind just saying these lines that George had written? And she's basically, I think she worked for Louis Vuitton or something. She was very sort of you know, lovely, normal gal, girl next door, and she was saying these very sexy lines, and she really got into it. You know, the beginning of it is quite...
It's funny, because when I gave her the text, I could tell that she was a little bit shy about this, you know, saying this. And it's basically her saying, oh, yes, do this to me, and yes, not hurt me, yes, and, you know, it's a bit... it's a little bit decadent, if you like, in terms of sexual manners. But she really got into it, and I think she really enjoyed it at the end, because it's really kind of a sleazy atmosphere to it. But she did great. I mean,
trouble is, we have to phone her up every bloody week.
Do sex on the telephone, yeah.
Yeah. Now, that track's got a nice guitar solo in it as well.
Excellent.
It really kind of... It does what a guitar solo should do. Mm-hmm. Walks in, slaps you around the face, and is off. Doesn't hang around, have tea and a biscuit, you know.
Explanation.
Yeah. And what else we got on the album?
Continental Heart.
Oh, yes.
Continental Heart, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a manifesto song, really. Mm-hmm. And is begging to be used for a TV commercial, isn't it?
Well, it's a funny thing, because that song actually started as a different song before. It actually something I wrote for Sailor, believe it or not. I never actually finished it, except a chorus idea. But then, you know, we looked at it. Tim and I looked at it together, and we reworked the song. New lyrics, and new verses. Everything more in the style of noir. And I think it worked out pretty well.
Yeah. There's a good... You did a lot of editing on it.
No, I remember that actually the original version was much more closer to your idea for Sailor. And it was... you both felt that in the end it wouldn't work because it was too much of a straight song.
It was like a ballad. I'm continental at heart.
So George did this immense all-night re-editing job to turn out what...
Yeah.
It was. And
played it to me the next day, and I thought, my God, that is incredible.
Well, it's one of those one of those wonderful things about programmed synthesizers and...
you did on the street level before, I think.
Well, yes, in many ways. There are connections there. But the thing is to be able to create this wash of rhythmic sound that you can't really quite work out what the hell it is. And I think the verses, I mean, there's a lot of accordion contained within Continental at Heart, but not accordion as you would normally think of it. And it just became something quite different, very compatible with, you know, because the idea of being continental from a noir point of view is very different from it than from a sailor's point of view. You know, it has a very different different dynamic, different emotion.
Yes.
It's very tongue-in-cheek, or tongue-in-cheek, I should say. But I go to France, I go to Spain. I like the sun, and I hate the rain. It's so cheeky, I love it. We used to have a laugh, me and George, because George had the sampler, you know, and there's a line in Travelling. Travelling, going first class... Travelling, all swanky and deluxe. And poor old Barbie, she was in the room next door, and we just had this one bit of one word looping. Oswang, 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 oswang. For about 2 days, you know, until we were shunting it backwards and forwards, and all she hears is oswang, oswang, oswang. Shut up! Oswang, thank you, finished it. But it was an eye-opener for me, because... did you have Logic? No, you didn't have Logic then, did you? Not for most of it.
Well, I mean, it was only a MIDI program, but I had the Roland sampler and all the other goodies.
Right.
And the mixing desk and stuff. But
it was actually, for me, seeing sound as blocks on a screen was just mind-blowing. Yeah. Just, for me, it was always record it onto tape and live with the noise, you know. and
like noise here in the restaurant.
Scissors.
Yes, which hopefully will not be obliterating this interview.
But that's life.
Have I left out any track?
I don't think so.
Theme one.
Yeah, well, we did that. But I think, again, it's got a killer chorus.
But I mean, yeah. But I think this certainly gives a fairly good impression of what this album is about. Well, I mean, there is another track which I haven't mentioned called Dreaming, which is pretty strange and slightly nightmarish. And again, Barbie, of course. It's so strange because in this context, of course, talking about it, I mean, Barbie really is the third member here because she's everywhere, which is wonderful. Because that high female voice actually really sort of tops it beautifully. It's like a good high percussion in vocal terms.
Yeah, again, it's something very comforting about it. I mean, certainly on Dreaming, it was like, you know, go to sleep now, darling, it'll be all right. And it's like, oh, thanks, Mum. You know, it's like when you've had a bad dream and you wake up, Mum! Like the kid over there, you know. It had that comfort zone to it. Awesome. Shut up, Tim.
That was the worst. I still can remember all swing. And actually, that line, funnily enough, is from
Witness
for the Prosecution, because Tyrone Power is walking past a window travel agent.
Yeah, and you know, and I just wanted to go in just to ask for the most swanky and deluxe ticket on one of these cruise liners, you know, because he's the defendant in this case. Mm-hmm. But this line, swanky and deluxe, I mean, it just sort of almost became swanky and deluxe.
Yeah, swanky.
Accent. Yeah. But it's a term that is so old-fashioned that we thought we should use it, because it's the kind of thing you would imagine in a film noir, somebody would make reference to that. I mean, Witness for the Prosecution is hardly a film noir, although, you know, it's sort of...
Has its moments.
But swanky and deluxe is, I mean, going first class, swanky and deluxe.
Yeah, I'm not going to hear that done by anybody.
It just seems very noir to use that.
So maybe we're retro technotronica pop poetry.
Oh god, that really rolls off the tongue.
It does, doesn't it? Right. So, that's pretty much covered that, hasn't it?
Thank you very much, guys.
Pleasure.
You're welcome.
Good luck with the new release.
Thank you. No, we need all the luck we can get.
Yeah.
And it's good to see you again, Carson.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Even though you're a Star Trek fan.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with Star
Wars.
Trek fans.
I am your father. Anyway, that's it. Well, hopefully see you in Germany sometime.
Hopefully, yes.
That's another thing. I mean, would we do live shows if we were asked to? Quite probably.
Live shows?
Live in a kind of we're on stage.
I mean, the thing is, we have videos.
And... Yeah, but something, you know what it's like. People want to see...
Stop.
What? Have you stopped?
I should.
Oh, yeah,
we should.
Yeah.